Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Night War Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamlet and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the Wednesday Night War, and if you want to know our preview of AEW Dynamite, that is available right now. We also review Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. As I said, they're joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT, the Halloween Havoc Fallout episode. Michael Hamlet, after a Wednesday Night War win for NXT.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to consider this a Halloween Havoc Fallout. Something last week that I noticed in the coverage, not ours, obviously, listen to our review every time, but in a lot of the coverage from Halloween Havoc was that it obviously brought back people that haven't been watching NXT, which is what you want. You know, you want to, that number hasn't come from people that were just watching other things, but if you're NXT, Michael Sidgwick shaking his head over our cameras, it's what you want. The idea that this was just a one-off felt, to me at least, unfair. From several weeks of decent booking, a show that was announced well in advance, a series of angles that were advanced to that point, and indeed a few things that were spinning off this, I completely understand why people stepping in for 1 week and then set to step back out would have just seen this as a really, really fun one-off. But I felt genuinely NXT probably didn't get enough credit last week for the development that got them there and some of the angle advancement that came coming off the back of that show. I thought Halloween Havoc was a great wrestling show as well as being this one-night spectacle.
Yeah, it's difficult to gauge whether they're actually going to, in to use their own verbiage, generate momentum on the back of this. It would be a shame if they just fell completely by the wayside, because as Anthony points out, particularly with this Undisputed Era versus Pat McAfee plus cronies feud, like, they have tried to build something here. There is stuff building towards that feud. There is stuff that will spin off that feud. It feels like, for the first time in months and months and months, I can see 6 months into NXT's future, and more to the point, like, I'm pretty up for it. Like, Future Shock versus Strong and Fish, like, give me that. Give me something to do with the Undisputed Era that isn't them saying that they're undisputed, or that there's some golden prophecy, whatever it was. That never really amounted to absolutely nothing, in my opinion. There's still fundamental booking issues. Don't know what they're trying to do with Jake Atlas. I think I know what they're doing with Tommaso Ciampa, and I literally don't think a soul on this planet wants it. I never see his name, like, ever mentioned anywhere in terms of what people are enjoying or who's hot or even who's divisive. Like, Jesus Christ. But yes, I think for the most part, Halloween Havoc was a celebration, not just of Halloween, but of NXT itself. Be interesting to see whether now that all that nostalgic patina will not be there this week, whether it can feel as vibrant without all the bells and whistles.
It's a night with some great matches on the card, but I'm arguably more looking forward to promos on NXT, specifically Hamlet, from Johnny Gargano, who we'll get into, and in particular, how on earth the Undisputed Era respond to Pat McAfee's new gang of bastards, Burch and Lorcan, and of course now Pete Dunne.
Yeah, it's great, this. As Sidgwick points out, it's always felt for a while now that the long-term plan is to do a split within the Undisputed Era. But it seems now that the way they're potentially going to arrive at that is by them failing to beat Pat McAfee's group, which is tremendous, because a big loss should be the thing that comes between friends and comes between the heroes that try to do it and the villains that choose not to. Kyle O'Reilly, for like great storyline reasons, was left completely alone, was left to the wolves last week as the babyface of that group, establishing the Undisputed Era as a babyface force, despite the fact that Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish have kind of been arseholes the whole time. So they're going to be on the babyface side of the fence for the benefit of this feud. But I really like that Adam Cole, either via iPad or whenever he makes his return, is going to be given a hero's welcome, because he was just left like bludgeoned by Ridge Holland last we saw of him, effectively. So I like the fact that though they are divided, they will probably try and mask that in an effort to undermine everything Pat McAfee was saying last week, and indeed to sell us on what should be, you know, it feels like to me that they were implicit with it last week, what should be a War Games main event at the next takeover.
Sige, when it comes to Johnny Gargano, you've completely changed your mind on him. And, well, who's next for him? Obviously, he defeated Damian Priest via shenanigans. Maybe there's going to be some developments with the Scream character, Indy Hartwell, basically, from last week. But, yeah, I'm slightly concerned that they're going to go, congratulations, you're the new NXT North American champion, and you get to face Dexter Lumis.
Oh, you've ruined it now. You've totally ruined it now. I mean, in theory, it works. They are two comedy-leaning characters. The idea of Johnny Gargano being so pissed off that, oh, Christ, now he has to fight the serial killer. That's not fair. How's that fair? Like, there could be some very rewarding and funny segments involving a program of Dexter Lumis. I'm not, at this point, too concerned with who's next, but more what's next, i.e. the extent to which he sells his championship celebration. I think there's just, again, that wonderful new development I never expected out of NXT of just genuine, actual patter. Johnny Gargano selling his title win as a big celebration in itself is funny, because his wife didn't win the title. So I want to see Candice LeRae roll her eyes like she's The Rock and Gargano was Farouk. Just it, how much of a completely self-involved, egotistical little bellend her husband is. Like, there's just loads of potential to do some really funny skits with the fact that this storyline's taken a really interesting direction. It's one of those where we complain about Angel Garza, you know, being a Lothario, when we know that he's, we know very well that he's engaged. And it's like, it's a hypocrite thing, realistically. People had it with Jason Jordan and Kurt Angle. Well, I don't buy that they're related. When EC3 was really good in Impact, everyone knew he wasn't related to Dixie Carter, but who gives a toss? The character was good. I want to see all of this ultimately end up with Candice LeRae kicking Johnny Gargano in the balls and then being the great babyface that she should have been all along in NXT. And I'll believe it because it's good. And I will think, I don't really care that you're going home to dinner and you're probably going to toast to how good that segment was. I will believe it. That's the ultimate direction for me. But how we get there and how much of an incorrigible, insufferable twat Gargano is in the meantime, I can't wait. And that starts tonight and I'm excited for it.
It's funny that the bells and whistles of Halloween Havoc will be missing, and thus NXT and the Capital Wrestling Center, and the, you know, the jury's out on really how much different that is from Empty Full Sail, in truth, will be missing something in comparison to last week. Gargano could be the fill-in that this show desperately needs, a Gargano-based celebration, something that he does out front rather than just in a series of hilarious backstage vignettes or things that are uploaded to .com that we have to watch on Twitter the next day. I would much rather see it all take place in the ring. It's for a wrestling title. That's where that should take place. It's likely to set up a next feud, even if it is with Dexter Lumis. You know, like, Dexter Lumis is a wrestler that you can picture coming out of a cake for some reason or another. This could be that. I hope they go big on whatever it is for Gargano this week, just because he deserves it. He warrants it. It's every week. It's every single week he does something really funny. And for the most part, it's been kept kind of in the background. And I think this is a nice week for this part, this character in particular, to shine.
On the flip side of things, as you alluded to, Sige, Candice LeRae failed to win the NXT Women's Championship, which was rather surprising considering the multitude of challenges you could have lined up for her. But they will be going after Io Shirai, and a lot of them are in action tonight. Ember Moon, Dakota Kai, and Shotzi Blackheart versus Toni Storm. How do you see those going down, Hamlet?
Both matches should be great. I'm really interested in Shotty Blackheart versus Toni Storm because it's the latest in a line of Shotty Blackheart matches where she's in there with somebody theoretically has quite a bit more experience than her, or somebody that you'd expect to help her along to having the sort of match where just over and over again, you're thinking, actually, Shotty Blackheart can do this. She really can do this. She's becoming like a total package of what NXT want as a future women's champion. Ember Moon versus Dakota Kai is kind of the opposite because they're the established ones and they're the guys that you already think are there. So the result matters a little bit more between Ember Moon and Dakota Kai. With Io Shirai winning last week, this has made me believe that they might intend to do what they did last year. I'm not sure the CWC is the right destination for this, but if they are doing men's war games, I wonder if they're going to do women's as well. We've talked on this podcast a few times about how there appears to be a queue of baby faces for Io Shirai's title and a shortage of heels. And if you look at this match, the same is happening here. Toni Storm hasn't really steered into being a heel. So you've basically got three baby faces and one heel in these matches tonight. Makes me think that if you include Rhea Ripley as well, a combination of four heels, including Io, sorry, four faces, including Io, will take on the four obvious heels of that division. Candice LeRae has nothing else to do. Indy Hartwell is her sidekick. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are the obvious other two to make up that. I think from this arrangement of women tonight, we're going to start to see the build to that four-on-four War Games match. Io's team of faces, where all of them want a challenger but can't for this one time, buys NXT a month versus the very obvious top four contenders on the heel side.
Sige, your thoughts on that, and also who you'd like to see the next person to be to challenge Io Shirai for that women's title?
My thoughts on these matches is that Dakota Kai versus Ember Moon, right? Ember Moon is currently modifying what it means to be Ember Moon because she can't keep doing that eclipse, and she's come back from an incredibly serious injury. So I'm not expecting fireworks for this match, and given the fairly perfunctory build, I'm not deeply invested in it. I think it'll be really strong, but I don't care that much about it. In contrast, Toni Storm felt like a star during her showcase win, and I just love Shotty Blackheart, man. I've talked about this at length. Like, she's everything that brand needs. Like, she strikes a bum note every now and again. She's electrifying. She, crucially, does not need to win. So I'm expecting like a really hard fought match that will flatter both women, and that Toni Storm will emerge from as the clean winner because she needs like a scalp at this stage. And again, like, you can tell this kind of story with Shotzi for a long time. I expect one clean result in this match and not a clean result in the other. Like, I think that heel side needs a win, and I think it'll arrive via tainted means. So I'm not terribly interested in Dakota Kai versus Ember Moon. It'll be decent. In terms of who then proceeds to challenge Io Shirai, like, given the performance last week, given to Gonzalez, like, Dakota Kai at this point is not going to win that women's title. I don't think she's anywhere near it. I don't think she'll ever approach it again. It would take like a Herculean booking effort to do that. But Gonzalez was so strong in that match, was so just enjoyable on a primal level and really well crafted that she's emerged with loads of credit. I think Meltzer gave it 3 3/4. I think loads of people were high as hell on that match. I think that it was booked to be that good for a specific reason. And I think Gonzalez versus Io Shirai is very much like, this could be the launch of her Diesel-esque face turn, where she loses the heel match, loses the match as a heel. But ultimately, the idea is, you like the big badass, don't you? Just awesome at messing people up. She lost this one, but like, you'll want to win as a babyface, won't you? I think that'll be the tacit agreement that NXT is going to try and form with people over the coming weeks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Is there anything NXT can do to get you interested in Ciampa Dream tonight?
No. Not a goddamn thing. It's going to be difficult for them to get me interested in anything that Velveteen Dream does. I feel like I'm boring myself talking about Tommaso Ciampa. It is so bad. It's so actively, like, it's just not fun. And it's not entertaining. And wrestling sometimes doesn't have to be that. Wrestling sometimes can feel like really serious, dangerous business where someone's going to get messed up. It doesn't really feel like that either, because Tommaso Ciampa feels like he's cosplaying as this guy who's simply hard. Like, Jesus Christ, I couldn't care less. Is that match happening tonight?
Yes. Yeah,
All right, well, at least it might be over with.
Yeah, it's definitely, it strikes me as the sort of thing that they know if there are indeed still channel hoppers in this era. I know I was a sound hopper last week that I'd be flicking over to whatever AEW is doing. Yeah, same on Velveteen Dream. We have this all the time. Impossible to assess and analyse as a pro wrestler anymore because of what we know about his real life and what we know about the speaking out allegations. But on Tommaso Ciampa, I found last week's promo completely tone deaf. He was there, again, like a parent trying to break up a party in the middle of a show that everybody was clearly really enjoying, that you sensed was going to do quite well with the audience, was going to interest casuals, was there to say, no, this is not what you want. This is not what you want. You want me. You want me being boring and serious and angry. All you losers in NXT now with your pumpkins and your fun times. That's not what this is about. And it's like, well, maybe it should be about more of this than what you're about. I sat through 50 goddamn minutes of what you were about back in April, and I don't need any more of it for a lifetime, mate. Like, I do not know why they think that is the champer that anybody wants. And I say that as somebody that, you know, is still cares about NXT and still wants it to succeed, ultimately. He's lost. I feel like he's really, really lost. He couldn't be the babyface for various reasons. And now they're trying to reboot his angry heel persona. It feels like he can't do that either. And a match with the Velveteen Dream isn't going to get him out of that pickle. This is not the week to try and figure out how to solve the Tommaso Ciampa problem. My dread, my fear is that at some point they decide that Johnny Gargano's banter is so high that it can drag Tommaso Ciampa kicking and screaming into the light again. And that's the last thing. That would like be the worst possible outcome. I don't know how you solve this problem.
Yeah, even I'm not here for a rerun of Ciampa and Gargano, despite my thoughts on one final beat. Someone else who didn't have a lot of fun at Halloween Havoc, but we had a lot of fun at his expense, was Kerrigan! Let me check to the moon! I predict another bad night for him tonight, unfortunately, but hopefully a better match, Hamflet, against Kushida!
I mean, yeah, there's like plenty to look forward to. Let us not forget that these two have gone to war before over a hat, and that was when there was crowds. I'm not terribly excited about this. It doesn't feel like the match itself is not the start of something new for Cameron Grimes. That much is clear. Something new is forthcoming. That loss last week was done. How entertaining he was done for the betterment of this overall product. And it tends to be that the rest of them will then get rewarded with the program with a bit more substance and a bit more bite to it. This match is not that. I don't expect things to go well for Cameron Grimes here, but I would like to see some advancement of what's coming next, because thankfully for him, his Dexter Lumis time has been served.
This feels like a vehicle, a fairly uninteresting one to further the Kushida push. Basically what we know of Kushida so far is that he's really good at wrestling. And I don't think that's enough to drive investment in his character. To the point that continually, before we do these previews, I forget that he exists. It's just, I don't think, again, and this extends to AEW as well, American wrestling companies do not do right at all by Japanese talents. And if they do, it takes them far too long to maximize how great the very best Japanese talents are. This is going to be one of those matches, right, that you think, part of you might think on paper, well, it's got two great workers, one of whom was one of the very best in the world about 2 or 3 years ago. This should be really good. And then you'll see it play out in the CWC, and it's going to have this bittersweet quality of, NXT can't be like that anymore because of the atmosphere, and it's going to fall flat through no fault of the work. I expect Kushida to win cleanly. Wilborn, this is not going to get Cameron Grimes anywhere near the moon, I'm afraid.
Do you feel like with this, Sidge, that they are potentially positioning Kushida in a place to be, you know, the top of the company? Because conspicuous by the absence of any mention of Finn Balor, NXT champion, in recent weeks. Obviously, they said they're going to hold off. They're not going to make any announcements until they know any more. But worrying the amount of silence around this.
Yes and no. I think they should have a definitive idea at this point of how the extent to which he's injured. I think that they would... I mean, you still might get that hour before. William Regal, huge announcement on socials tonight. I think they don't want to further wreck their plans and they are just doing more interesting things in place of announcement desperation to the betterment of the overall product, realistically. I think it's fine. I think Finn Balor is going to have about another 2 or 3 weeks. And I don't know if it's an indictment of him or a celebration of NXT's booking that it doesn't feel like the be-all and end-all of, Christ, this title match that we sometimes win against AEW with is completely gone. I think the fact that it's not a huge concern in our minds or their booking patterns means that everything might be getting a little bit better.
Certainly very awkward, as me and Hamflet alluded to yesterday, that Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly can't even say, well, we were the hardest hitting match of WWE in 2020. Yeah.
Not even the hardest one of NXT.
If you want to know our thoughts on Volta versus Ilya Dragunov, that podcast is available right now. But it's been a good...
give me a two-word assessment of your thoughts on Volta versus Dragunov.
To me? Too much.
Too much.
Too much. Please listen, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Too much.
But yeah, it's been a legitimate distraction, Halloween Havoc, from the NXT Championships saga, I suppose, Hamflet.
Yeah. I kind of want to build on Cedric's point there, really. I think it's hard to be critical of NXT for holding off on any kind of announcement because it feels like they've not needed to. Like, track this back 6 months and it's all we'd be hearing about, not just on 10 minutes on Twitter before the show itself, but in the days and week leading up to NXT, they'd feel like they'd need it. They'd feel like it'd be necessary to talk about it, to get the belt on somebody else for a match. I genuinely think they've probably got something in mind for it and they're going to try and pick the best moment to announce that. It is, the longer you leave, I suppose, the more an announcement about it becomes something to talk about. So it wouldn't surprise me if they try the half an hour before showtime trick. But Kushida is as primed as anyone right now to be taking a run at that title. If you consider that Kyle O'Reilly was the challenger the last month and your top heel at the moment really is Johnny Gargano and he's got the secondary title and the Undisputed Era are now locked in what should be a War Games feud, I'm looking up and down the card and Kushida's as good as anybody if they're going to try and make Finn Balor's title reign like this match quality run. Like the workers' title for a little while before Karrion Kross comes back and they presumably reset in a match against the Demon. So I do expect Kushida to win, as I say, not just to try and give Cameron Grimes whatever it is next in his trajectory, but also because they might as well keep him primed at that level.
I worry that Grimes is going to come to the attention of Vince McMahon very, very soon.
Yeah, me too. Before we get onto the ratings, one final question. Either of you can tackle this. Drake Maverick and Killian Dane, good now?
They're all right. They're WWE good. And I genuinely don't say that to be a snarky bastard. I say that because there is a specific limit on what WWE comedy can achieve. In that it's funny if you're a long-standing WWE fan who knows the tropes and the rhythms and the tone of it all. I'm more high on them than I was when I knew what was going to happen. Now that it's happened, it's like, actually, they've done quite a good job here. I will never tweet about them. I will never be like anticipating what this act does. But for what it is, undercard fare designed to create something a bit different for your viewing experience throughout. Like, 2 hour shows are bloody long. Can you imagine people watching 2 hour soaps? I know. Things are bloody slogs at times and they play their role well.
I would argue that if you don't think Drake Maverick and Killian Dane are good, and there are lots of reasons why you wouldn't think that, really just say that NXT's booking is quite good. So last week's segment was great. Like in terms of the reference points and the joke they chose to tell with the Halloween Havoc was really tremendous. The theme music is great. The fact that they haven't rushed how soon they were going to become friends is great. And most great of all is the fact that they've actually established a pair of heel tag team champions that you would ultimately like to see these guys beat. And I don't think that can be taken out of the conversation on Maverick and Dane, is that how much of any of what's been going on with them would have mattered in the Breezango Imperium glut of several weeks ago. In Birch and Larkin, as part of Pat McAfee's group, you have the chance of actually rebuilding a tag division. Drake and Killian Dane have to go and beat another heel team to keep them distracted for a little while you have this main event War Games stuff. And when they do that, they might consider themselves in line for a shot. And at this point, you've got quite well-established heel champions with backup, with ability, with somebody that can talk for them. And I think that's a credit to maybe how they've been trying to piece together the semblance of a tag division over the last month. And I think that's what's potentially great about Drake Maverick and Killian Dane.
And you've got a low-key, decent heel team, as we saw on WWE.com a couple of weeks ago, in Everrise. If they're given a bit of TV time to cut those sorts of promos, you can build that up, especially because Everrise got the DQ victory, of course, the last time they faced against them. But yeah, intriguing to see what they do with that next. Hamlet, as we bring things to a close here, do you think NXT can win another Wednesday Night War this week?
No. It was from the feedback to Halloween Havoc that was more about, oh, this is all right, actually, that made me think, wow, they've got a lot of casual eyes this week. They've got a lot of people that are just not plugged into this product because they were fascinated by what they could look at for a night, but it wasn't in that sense that you got any impression that they were going to come back next week. It doesn't bother me because, if anything, by not chasing ratings, it seems like NXT might have fixed so much of what appeared broken in 2020. So I don't think they will win this week, and I don't think they're going to win long-term until they can promote something like Halloween Havoc, like an event show 4 or 5 weeks in advance like they did for this one. But just broadly speaking, this product seems to be trending in the right direction. I think we can say that after around a month and a half. And like that's how they're going to win more long-term if they're going to win again.
Sidge, what do you reckon? You were the one who called it right last week by actually being optimistic for NXT to win the ratings war. NXT, 876,000 plays. AEW, 781,000. A repeat again this week?
I think so. I think there's a convergence of factors here, which I'll try and run through as quickly as I can. One, the world is on fire. All eyes will be fixed on cable news. Two, traditionally, AEW's audience seems to hover towards world events than NXT's sleeping granddads on the sofas who are don't have the cognitive function to change the channel because they are, you know, unconscious. AEW's card is not that strong on paper by design because they want you to think, oh, the good wrestling's coming on Saturday, I must pay for that. But that will be reflected presumably in the ratings because Chris Jericho isn't wrestling, John Moxley isn't wrestling, they are the two biggest draws. Orange Cassidy isn't wrestling, who's a sleeper draw, and none of like your big sort of literally elite workers like Omega and the Bucks are in action. I think all of this together with the fact that Halloween Havoc will in effect represent a post pay-per-view bump will give the score in NXT's favour of 725 playing 705.
Hamlet?
780, 700 in favour of AEW.
Yeah, I think AEW are going to take it as well this week. I haven't factored in the news side of things. I'm hoping that people just need, as we alluded to on the AEW preview podcast, just an escape. Just get out of it for a couple of hours and watch some wrestling. Trust me. And with that in mind, I've gone for AEW 800 to 775. Optimistic, stupidly optimistic, as always, from me. But let us know your predictions for the Wednesday Night War and tonight's episode of NXT on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
like the fate of the presidency might be minutes away before both of these shows start. Like both could be in the sixes, right? At M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Of course, you can vote there tomorrow on who you think won the Wednesday Night War. We'll count all those votes. You can subscribe
in AEW's favour. It's that easy.
Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. For Daily Wrestling Podcast, also available on there right now, is our preview of AEW Dynamite, and tomorrow will be our reviews of both shows. But this has been the Wednesday Night War preview of NXT. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.